Come on in. Hey, Kevin just asked us, he said, do y'all go in there and pray before service on Sunday night? And we said, we don't know. We don't have Sunday night service. And we don't know what we're doing. But I'm so excited that y'all are here doing whatever we're going to do with us. All right? So thank y'all for being here. We keep emphasizing and want to emphasize throughout the week these two ideas, gratitude and grace. Just gratitude and grace. Now, Kevin's going to bring us a message, and he's not obligated to say those things, but we want the whole atmosphere of what we're doing here all week to just to respond. Gratitude and grace. This morning, Kevin challenged us. If you were here, I know you're a challenge to catch a vision for what God has for the future of the church, to catch the burden that God has for us in this community, and it's just awesome, okay? Now look, we're going to praise and worship. If you're a visitor here at Christ Community Church, we just ask you to be yourself. You are welcome here, okay? Be free in the Lord, and we're excited for you to be here. I can't think of anything else. Let me get this in case I forget. Our next meeting time will be tomorrow. We'll have a hot dog popcorn fellowship at 5:30. And then Jeff Heim, a pastor from Lincoln Park, Michigan, but you might as well say Detroit. He's a lifelong friend of mine. He and I have been buddies. He knows all the dirt. If you ever were interested, not that you would be, not that you couldn't find enough as long as I've been in Grenada, but if you're interested in old dirt, this is the one who has it, okay? And I told you, it's more like mud now. That's how old. It's that deep foundational mud, okay? But I told you all this morning, he's about this tall. He's about this broad at the shoulders. He knows Israeli karate, and he preaches the word. I don't know what. There's other interesting things, but I can't tell you all. It's his dad, Gary, who mumbles, that led me to the Lord. And he pastors our home church, Friendship Baptist Church in Lincoln Park, Michigan. And just so excited to have him with us, too. So y'all be planning on that. That's tomorrow at 6:30. Right now, I'm going to pray for us, and we're just going to get rolling. Are y'all ready for this? Well, that kind of sounded like a song. Are y'all ready for this? Come on! All right, that's what I'm talking about. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I just pray that you would just have your way with us. We're yours. Lead us. You gave us life. Breathe in us again. We're looking at this as year one, a new beginning, a new start, a celebration of you fulfilling your promises in this just this one small church, Father. But we look at it and say, we're thankful for your grace. And Father, give us that vision and break our heart for what breaks your heart. And we love you, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. can have a seat. Woo, I'm just going to speak here for a minute in between songs as they get arranging. But y'all know what hallelujah means, right? It means praise the Lord, doesn't it? Well, let's give the Lord a little praise. What do y'all think? Say praise the Lord. God Almighty don't belong to one church, one denomination, one group. It's for everybody. He's for everybody. He is the one true and living God. Amen? Amen. Well, let's continue to praise Him. Are y'all set? All right, let's go.
Filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. Word became flesh and the light shined among.
Yeah. hear the gospel in there?
Yes.
I mean, you can't avoid it. That whole song was gospel. Let me tell you one of the things I'm just so grateful for that God's done. God's brought some friends back and brought some folks together just to share this night with me. So, you know, the keys are up here now, and we are so glad. I met God here, and some of my pastor buddies are here, and your families, and I'm just so glad for that. And I see, you know, three or four denominations and churches represented here, because I'll tell you, it's all about God.
Yeah.
Christ gets the glory. One day he's coming back. No denominational leader. Amen. It's not those people who died for him coming back. It's Christ and Christ alone. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's give him all the praise.
Thank y'all for having us. We love y'all. Just want to take a second. That's when I was talking to several folks a minute ago, and while just personally, me, this church, I've talked to several people that have been to this church and then left. For me, this church was a place that I learned how to be a Christian. I was saved, and then I just didn't, okay, like service, that concept, not being a pew sitter. I learned, you know, and I've taken that with me, and I'm still a work in progress, but my whole family, we serve, all four of us, they're all working where we are now. And I just want to thank y'all. This is still my family. It's you know.
And now
It's already worth the price of admission, isn't it? Isn't it just awesome? Hey, let's pray as Kevin comes forward to bring the word to us. Just bow your head and let's pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together. One family in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. And Father, as Kevin opens your word, open our ears, open our hearts, our minds, open our eyes that we might see. And Father, we give you all the praise. Have your way among your people to do your work. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you hear me? Naval level, right? Isn't that what they said? And then drop it in my pocket. There we go. Shut up. Oh, goodness. Are y'all going to let him keep on? Well, it's a pleasure and a joy to be back with y'all tonight and share with you what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, because there's a need here tonight for something like this. The title of the message is, God, Do You Really Care? Have you ever heard the old saying that either you've just been through the stuff, or you're in the middle of the stuff, or you're fixing to go through the stuff? And the older you get, you begin to realize it's like a cycle. You know, just when you just made it through, all of a sudden, don't get too comfortable, because here it comes again. And those kind of storms can rattle us if we let them. But again, I think the older you grow in Christ, you begin to see that nothing happens in our lives that God does not permit for a purpose. Even folks like Adam and Eve, you know, how it must have been a heartbreaking thing for them to see those two boys that they love so much, you know, growing up, and then one brother rises up and murders his other brother. And can you imagine the tears that they must have shed as they asked God, do you really care? Or I think about Abraham and Sarah. You know, they were childless all those years, and then Abraham had a child by that slave girl and named him Ishmael. And no doubt Sarah wept when she saw that little boy. And she knew she would never have a child. And she wondered, God, do you really care about me? And then, of course, you can't think about a topic like this without considering Job and all that he went through. I mean, he was a guy who had it all. I mean, he had wealth. He had a wife, he had children, and then almost overnight he lost it all. And his children were killed, and his wealth dried up, and his health failed him, and his wife finally said, why don't you just cuss God and die? And we know that Job wept and cried out, God, do you really care? And everyone goes through the trials and the fires of life, and the great heroes of the Bible, men and women alike, all of them went through times when they wondered if God really cared about them. And if you've lived long enough through the times of crisis, then your faith has been tested too. Old preacher by the name of Vance Havner used to tell the story of an elderly lady who was upset by all of her troubles, both real and imagined. Finally, her family just told her, Grandma, we've done all we can do for you. You'll just have to trust God for the rest. And a look of total despair spread over her face, and she said, oh dear, has it come to that? And Vance Havner said, it always comes to that, so we might as well just begin with that. In times of trouble, we have to trust God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And I want you to see the disciples asked that very question of the Lord Jesus Christ one day. It's a familiar text, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. The Bible says, on that day, when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side. So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was already in the boat. And other boats were with him. A fierce windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. When they woke him, they said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified, and they asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." As we read this text about a stormy time, I want you to see, first of all, tonight, that God knows about your troubles. In verse 38, he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion, but they woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care?" See, this is the key right here. This is the heart of what we're talking about. We're asking God, "Don't you care?" Some of you have some burdens in your life, some pains that are so deep, and struggles that you have, and you don't even share them with your closest confidant, friend, or family member. Some of you have some issues in your lives, and you're troubled about some very difficult situations. And I don't know about you, but when trouble comes, my first reaction sometimes is, "God, where are you in all of this? What are you doing, God, in all of this?" You know, I'm a chaplain with hospice. Somebody told me one time, "Well, that must be a terrible job." I said, "No, actually, it's a good job. I enjoy what I do. I feel like God has wired me for that ministry." And I was visiting with a family in Senatobia, and they were going through a storm, if there ever was a storm. Both of them were in their early 60s. Bill had worked it out so he could retire early, and his wife, Joanne, they had plans and things that they were going to do. And when I went to the home, Joanne said, "Bill's in the back room. He's resting right now." So I said, "Well, let's just talk in here." And she kind of explained the situation to me. She said, "All our lives, all we've dreamed about is retirement. We are looking forward to the golden years when we can enjoy ourselves and do some of the things that we wanted to do." She said, "Well, one of the things we really wanted to do was take a cruise. And so we decided that we were going to do that. It's something that we always dreamed of." And so they drove down to the cruise ship and they took off, and everything went fine until the second day. And Bill started having some pain in his back. And as the days went by, the pain got progressively worse, and he could no longer ignore it. And when they returned to land, Bill made an appointment with his doctor, and they did a CT scan, and they discovered multiple cancerous tumors up and down his spine. Immediately, they began chemo and radiation, but nothing worked. They prayed and they asked God for the miracle, but the miracle never came. And 6 months later, Bill was referred to our hospice team. All that was left to do for him was just to keep him comfortable. And I remember Joanne looking at me and telling me, "We love the Lord. We got saved at a later age, and we have learned to walk with Jesus. And Bill's a Sunday school teacher, and he's a deacon in the church, and I'm the church secretary, and we are at the church when the doors open, and we love Jesus." See, she was making her case to me. "We love Jesus." And then she said, "I just don't understand why, at this point in our lives, with our children grown and all the plans we had." Have you ever been there? When the future is just wiped out. It's gone, man. I mean, everything you ever dreamed of doing is absolutely gone. I've been there. It's a tough place to be. It's a difficult place to be. You know, when you're going through times like that, you can't help but look and ask the question, where is Jesus in the midst of all this? Well, in verse 35, "On that day when evening came, he told them, 'Let's cross over to the other side.' So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was already in the boat, and other boats were with him." Now, it was getting near the end of a busy day for the Lord, healing and teaching with his disciples. Crowds were following him. Jesus was very much the man in demand. And notice the disciples simply followed the Lord's command. When he said, Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. Now at that point, everyone is happy with Jesus. You know, when everything's going good, we're happy with Jesus, right? God is good. Woo! Hallelujah. Everything's wonderful. And I want you to know, Jesus was with them in the calm. And we all feel that way when everything is right with the world and all of our bills are paid and our children are behaving and our health is good. Praise the Lord. How you doing, brother? Amen. God is good. You know what I'm talking about? God is good. And they'd had this awesome day with the Lord of miracles and teaching, and they were just hanging out with Jesus, having a great time. But what about when the storms come? When the doctor tells you that you're sick? When the doctor tells you you've got diabetes or you've got cancer? Where's Jesus? What about when your daughter comes home with blue hair and black fingernail polish and a pierced up boy named Spike or a pierced up girl named Spike? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It's the day we live in. What do you do? Where is Jesus in all of this? I guess that's the way we are. You know, when it's calm, we feel like God is with us, but when trouble comes, we wonder if he really cares. Notice verse 37. A fierce windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. The Lord Jesus, who loved them, sent them directly in the path of a storm. Now, someone might say, Jesus could have saved everyone from a lot of grief if he'd have just said, now, fellas, I'm the maker of the winds and the waves. I know the weather, and there's a storm coming. So let's just hang over here until the storm passes by. Why didn't the Lord just stop it? I mean, if Jesus really cares, why didn't he just stop it? Well, Jesus was with him in the calm, but I want you to see Jesus was with him in the storm. Verse 37 calls it a fierce windstorm. It was no ordinary storm. The language indicates it was a violent storm, maybe like a Katrina on the sea. All of a sudden it came up, and the Bible says it came up without warning, and the waves were breaking, and they were taking on water, and it was a scary thing for these experienced sailors to be on the sea in the midst of this storm. Maybe you've been through the terror of a tornado. It's got to be awful. I've talked to people who have, and it's a scary thing. And the disciples were in trouble. But remember in verse 35, he told them, let's cross over. Now that's important. Jesus told them to set out into the storm, into the sea. He knew it was coming. Have you ever gotten any problems, any storms in your life, and you went through a similar situation where it was so difficult and so violent and so hard that you wondered if God was there? I remember when I was a boy, we lived on Long Island in New York, and my dad bought this old fishing boat. It was kind of a, had old janky cabin down below, you know. He just loved to fish, and so he bought this old boat, and our house was situated on the shores of a bay of water between the land and the Fire Island and then the Atlantic Ocean. And we were out fishing one day in this old boat when a violent storm came up, kind of like this one. And the waves were huge, and the boat rode to the top of one swell and back down another. And I could remember the look of abject terror on my mother's face and my father yelling at all of us, get below! And we got below, and somehow my dad managed to pilot that boat into the safety of the harbor. And in the calm or in the storm, I want you to know God is in control. And God is able, and God is competent, and God is trustworthy. And if you will trust him when the storm comes, he can pilot that little boat of your life into the safety of a peaceful harbor. If you'll trust him. But that's the issue. Can you trust God when your world falls apart? Can you trust God when everything is bad? Listen, God knows about your troubles, and he cares about your trials. When the economy goes bad, you can't pay your bills. Does God care? You bet he does. God cares. He knows about your struggles. Ever occur to you that God has allowed that for a purpose in your life? He wants to teach you something. When your children get away from God and they live in sin and the world, or how about this, kids, when your parents get away from God and live in sin and you're struggling as a teenager and you don't have a godly mom and dad and they're not interested in church or Jesus, listen, Jesus knows about that, kids. He loves you and He cares about you. And when your marriage, adults, is in a shambles, and you've done all you can and you want to throw in the towel, does God really care? Well, the disciples were in a sinking ship. They were bailing as frantically as they could. A killer storm was on their heels, and it was no ordinary storm. And they were bailing that little boat out as fast as they could. And somebody in the midst of all that came up with an idea. The light came on. We need Jesus. Isn't that what we do? Man, I'm laughing because I have done it so many times. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I get this message in my head? I can preach it to you, but I'm telling you, I've lived it over and over and over. When the storm comes, the first place to turn to is Jesus. Listen, trials come to turn us to God. Verse 38. He was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Wait a minute. The world's falling apart, and Jesus is in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Yep. So they woke him up, and they said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're about to die? Are we about to die? I can just picture Jesus looking at those guys, you know. But that's the way we do it. After we've used up all of our strength, after we've tried every way possible, we cry out to God. And I see it all the time. People wait until they're right in the thick of the worst storm they've ever experienced before they turn to God. They were about to sink. The disciples looked and they fell him asleep in the back of the ship. The storm tossed the ship. The wind and the waves were fierce. They thought they'd find him wringing his hands too. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do about this awful storm we're going through? These guys are trusting me. It's all up to me. What are we going to do? No, he's sleeping. He's got his head on a pillow. Jesus found a pillow somewhere down there on that boat. And he just got comfortable right in the middle of a violent storm. And they said, Teacher, don't you care that we are going to die? I can't tell you how many people I've seen with that same question. Chaplain, I'm dying. I'm dying. Some of those people I talk to, they say, Chaplain, I love Jesus. I would love to stay here and be with my family. I heard a lady tell me this just the other day. I would love to stay here and be with my family and see my grandkids grow up. That would be wonderful. But if Jesus is going to take me home tomorrow, that's okay too. Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? I've talked to other people who were bitter and angry. I talked to a man the other day, last week, old retired Marine. He was dying from cancer, and his wife and his daughter were there in the room. And I asked him, I said, Mr. Jones, has there ever been a time when you made a commitment of your life to the Lord Jesus? Are you interested in spiritual matters? No. And his wife said, well, he got baptized when he was a boy in a Baptist church. Wow. A lot of good that did him. He didn't care. It meant nothing to him that he'd been baptized. And I said, well, something must have happened back there. And he looked at me and he said, I tell you what, I'm going out of this world the way I came into it. Whatever that meant. And he didn't want to talk anymore about it. And I asked him, I said, Mr. Jones, can I pray for you at least? He said, sure. So we prayed. And I witnessed as hard as I could in that prayer because he couldn't tell me to shut up because the preacher was praying. And I did. I witnessed to a lot of people in my prayers because that's the only chance they'll let me have. And he died a couple days ago. He just died. I thought he'd be here for a while. I thought I'd get another shot at it. You know, thought I'd be able to talk to him some more. Maybe he'd open up and let me talk to him. But he died. And short of something miraculous happening at the last minute, he is in hell tonight. And there's no pretty way to paint that picture, but that's where he is. That storm had come into his life, and rather than turning to God, he turned away from God. I don't understand that. With God standing before him saying, reach out and take what I have, and I can save you and give you eternal life. He was not interested. But these guys, he said, teacher, don't you care that we are about to die? Don't you care about our problems? But wait a minute, remember verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side. I want you to know, God allows problems to come into our world to turn us to him. Have you experienced that before? Now, some of you are going through some issues and some struggles tonight. And the beginning of revival for you is to learn how to trust God again. Or maybe for the first time. But it's beginning to look at your situation and your circumstances and say, you know, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But God has allowed it. Well, you know that scripture, preacher, in Romans 8, all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Yeah, but sometimes those things stink. And God doesn't want you to necessarily have to go through all this stuff, but sometimes God brings it for a purpose in your life. The next verse says, God has allowed this because he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And when storms come your way and you turn to God, God begins that process of building you up and strengthening you so that you can in turn turn around and strengthen someone else. You see, you don't have any street cred if you ain't been through it. But if you've been through it, then you can sit down with somebody and you can talk with them and they will listen to you as somebody who knows what they're talking about. So maybe God is allowing this storm to come into your life for that very purpose, so that he can use you to help somebody else. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, that's not what I signed up for. But I'm telling you, if you'll let God use this time in your life to mold you and to shape you, to build your faith, you will come out on the other side a more effective Christian. And you'll be coming out on the other side a more useful believer. And one day when you stand before God, he'll say, well done. You got it. It took you a little while, but you finally got it. If you're a child of God, nothing comes into your life that he doesn't permit for a purpose and for a plan. And God is using those things that seem so difficult to you right now to turn you back to him. Maybe you've gotten away from God. Maybe you're living in the world and you've allowed so much into your life that's not of God, that God is using the storm to draw you back. He doesn't like it. He grieves when you grieve. He hurts when you hurt. But he's allowing it because he loves you and he cares about you and he wants to bring you back to him. I'm persuaded that nothing happens in my life that doesn't first go across the desk of God. And if God has allowed it, as difficult as it may be, there's a purpose there and God will use it in your life. Trials come to turn us to God, and then trials come to glorify God. In verse 39, the storm is raging. Jesus has been woken up by these frantic sailors. And the Bible says he got up, he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, silence, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In a very calm and commanding manner, the Lord Jesus Christ simply stood up and addressed the situation. He said to the wind, silence. He said to that stormy sea, be still. And there was an instant calm, and that raging sea suddenly became a sea of glass. Just calm. You ever been out on the lake in the early morning, there's no wind? It's just calm. And that's what happened. It was such a violent storm, all of a sudden. Just instant calm. Wouldn't you like that calm in your life? Maybe tonight you're in the midst of the sea. And as the wind is blowing the little boat of your life into areas that you're unsure of. God wants to call you back to faith in Him tonight. God wants to call you back to trust Him. You once trusted Him. You got off track. Tonight's your night. That's what revival is about. It's your night to get your life back on track for Jesus. He died for you. He saved you. Now He has some expectations of you. He wants you to live the way that He designed for you to live. He wants you to act the way He designed for you to act. He wants you to do the things that He has planned for you to do in your life. Tonight, during revival, this is an opportunity for you to get it right with Jesus. Problems come to turn us to God. He's allowed it. He said, "You don't know how difficult it is in my life. I'm struggling with drug addiction. I'm struggling with temptations that I don't even want to talk about. I'm struggling with all sorts of things. You don't know how difficult it is for me." Scripture says Jesus was tempted at all points like we were. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He was tempted, yet He never sinned. But you're not Jesus. But He's here to help you, you see? He wants to guide you through that stormy time of your life. Paul the Apostle was suffering with some sort of an affliction, probably some sort of physical affliction. And Paul cried out to God 3 times, "Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh." And God said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness." God has a purpose. God has a plan in that storm that you're going through. He calmed the storm for the disciples, and He can do the same for you. God knows about your troubles, and He cares about your trials, and He understands about your temptation. You say, "Well, what temptation are you talking about? Which one?" I'm talking about the temptation to doubt God in your life. Just like those disciples, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die? I mean, we're fixing to drown at sea, Jesus. Don't you care about us? What's the deal? We followed you, Lord. We gave up everything to be with you. Don't you care?" You see, that issue that you have may not actually be your biggest problem. Your biggest problem may be your lack of faith. You're doubting Him. Because sometimes we're lacking in faith. I mean, they had just seen Jesus teach and preach and heal and do incredible miracles. And yet, the first storm comes along and they are doubting. In verse 9, we find the story of a man, in Mark chapter 9, there's a story of a man who brought his son to Jesus, and the boy was demon-possessed, and he had lived a life in convulsions and pain, and the demon often tried to drown the boy and throw him into the fire, and then he came to Jesus begging for help. And Jesus said, "If you have enough faith, we can handle it." And he said, "Lord, I do have faith. I do believe. But help my unbelief. Help me, Lord, when I don't believe." Have you ever been there? "Lord, I believe you, but I'm just not sure in this situation. If you care about me, if you love me." Most of the time, our biggest problem is a lack of faith. And then in verse 40, then he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Do you still have no faith?" You see, that's the issue for a lot of us when we go through these times. It's a lack of faith. But if we trust the Lord, God will do amazing things. I have to tell you about a fellow named Mr. Knight. He was another patient that I went to see, profound Alzheimer's patient. Barbara has a lot of friends where she lives that are Alzheimer patients. And I told her about this story this morning. But I went to his home, and he was one of those guys whose wife was a good godly wife and tried to drag him to church, and he never would go. Preacher would come to the house, he never would listen to the preacher. This went on for a minute. They'd been married over 50 years. She'd been trying since the very beginning of their marriage to get the guy to come to church, hear about Jesus, and get saved. And I went to see Mr. Knight, and I said, "Mr. Just small talk. Mr. Knight, what'd you do for a living before you retired?" "I don't know." He looked over at his wife, and his wife said, "Oh, he used to be an electrical contractor. He did this, that, and the other." Then I'd say, "Mr. Knight, how many grandchildren you got?" "I'm not sure." He looked over at his wife, and his wife, you get the picture. She's answering all the questions for him. because he really did not have the ability to recall the details of his life. And one day I went to his house, and his daughter was there, and she said, well, today he may listen to you. Daddy's kind of having a clear day today. And so she went in the other room. She started praying, and I went in there, and I started talking to Mr. Knight. And I said, Mr. Knight, how you doing today? He said, I'm fine. I said, Mr. Knight, I've been over here many times, and I've talked to you about Jesus and giving your life to him and asking him to save you. I'm just wondering today, are you ready to give your life to Jesus and be saved? He said, yep, I think I am. I said, wow, okay. So I got out my scripture and I shared with him what the Bible says, how to be saved. And we prayed together. Mr. Knight prayed with me. Said that prayer all the way through and asked Jesus to save him and forgive him of his sins and be the Lord of his life. And then he went back to watching TV. But I'm going to tell you what, I think as best as he could in that moment, like a child, he meant business with Jesus and he gave his heart and life to the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you what, his family was on fire. They were on cloud nine. I told the daughter about his decision. She just wanted to jump for joy, but she couldn't, you know, and got to keep things quiet and all that kind of thing, you know. And then she told her mom, and her mom called me on the phone. Oh, well, thank you so much and for what you did, you know, sharing Jesus with him and all of that. And, you know, I was just the right place at the right time when the Lord Jesus wanted someone to come along. Now, let me tell you what, that Alzheimer's situation was the biggest storm that family had ever been through. It stunk. It ruined their lives. All of them had to change their schedules to take care of Daddy. It was an awful situation, difficult circumstances. They cried and they wept when they saw this grown man who had taken care of them all their lives reduced almost to a babbling baby. You want to talk about a storm? You think you've got one? Alzheimer's, just about as bad as it gets. But God uses those storms sometimes to turn us to Him. He did in this man's life. Better to go through life and then get Alzheimer's at the end and suffer that terrible disease and get saved and have a home in heaven. Amen? Amen. Oh my goodness. But what a storm it was for that family. They learned to trust the Lord. I tell you, sometimes we're lacking in faith, but God is never lacking in faithfulness. He is the master of the wind. Verse 41, and they were terrified and they asked one another, who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey this guy. Who is he? Well, he's the maker of the wind and the master of the sea. And the disciples were afraid. They were in awe of the power of God on display. And they recognized him. But they didn't know completely who he was. He was the Lord of creation. And sometimes we are lacking in faith, but God is never lacking in faithfulness. Do you have any storms in your life? Well, God has allowed the storms to come for a purpose. I know it's hard to see, but he has. Do you have any pain in your life? God has allowed it for a purpose. I don't know what it is. It's not a comfortable thing. It's not an easy thing. But the Lord has allowed it for a purpose. Some of you tonight are struggling. Again, Lord, why'd you put this on my heart? Because there's some folks here at Christ Community Church who need revival. And revival begins by trusting the Lord again in the midst of the storm that you're going through. Are the storms robbing you of your joy, or are they building up your faith? Your problems have come for a greater purpose than you, if you will let God work through them. This doubt that you have, this fear that you have, this concern, if you will learn to trust God in this situation, God is molding you and God is going to use you in ways that you never dreamed. Now I'm looking around this room and I see folks who could testify of how God has worked through situations. I'm going to testify tonight a little bit about difficult situations. Years ago, when I was the pastor of this church and my marriage was absolutely falling apart, I had prayed. You don't know how I had prayed and wept and cried out to God that He would change this situation, that He would change my wife's heart and bring her back to Him. Because she had gotten to the place where she wasn't listening to God or anybody else. And I don't want to run her down. That's not my purpose. But I just want you to know that I tried everything I could possibly do to make that marriage work out. And we went to endless meetings of counseling, and we did everything the counselors told us to do, and nothing worked. I don't know if you've ever gotten to the place in your life where you wanted to take your own life. We talked about suicide this morning. Now, I never got to the place where I wanted to take my own life, but I got to the place where I cried out to God to kill me. I did. I'm just being brutally honest with you tonight. You didn't know this, and I've never shared this before. But I was so unhappy in the midst of the storm. And I was so miserable. And I was trying to juggle a church. And I had two kids that had needs. And I was trying to be a pastor and a husband and a father. And it just got to the place where I could do nothing to change the circumstances or the situations. And I was so broken. And one night I wrote a note. And I wrote a note and I said, "This is to my family. I believe God is going to take my life." And I wrote it all out, what I wanted them to do, what I wanted who to have. And I know you're going to think this is crazy. And I think about it now, it's a little bit crazy. But I went out to Grenada Lake and I parked my car in a secluded area. And I got out of my car and I laid on the pavement. And I said, "God, I'm ready. Take me, God. I can't stand it any longer. Take me." And I meant it. I wanted to die. Well, I laid there for a while. Pavement got hard. I hurt my head. Finally, it dawned on me that God was not going to take my life. So I got up and I went back. And I'd like to say that the storm cleared, but the storm got worse. But through that time, I want you to know the Lord built me and taught me how to trust Him, how to depend upon Him. When my marriage ultimately fell apart and I went through a divorce, the Lord walked through that process with me. And I know in a lot of eyes at that point I was damaged goods, but God said, "You're going to stay in ministry." No, you're not selling insurance, you're staying in ministry. And so the Lord brought me through that process with the help of Steve Wilkes and some other good folks who were there beside me, who walked with me. Eddie and Amy, they were there and just helped me to walk through this time in my life and find God's plans and purposes. Because everything that I had ever dreamed that I wanted to do for God was absolutely taken away. All of my education, all of my accomplishments, at this point, they meant absolutely nothing. I was all the way back to nothing. And I just said, "Okay, Lord, I don't know what to do with this, but You do, and I'm going to trust You." And the Lord opened doors of opportunity of ministry for me. He opened opportunities until I got to this place where I am now as a chaplain. I want you to know I feel more alive in ministry than I have ever felt before. I feel more used of God than I have ever been before. I want you to know I have been places as a hospice chaplain that I would have never gone as a pastor. And I have ministered to people with AIDS in the gay community. I have ministered to bikers. I have ministered to all sorts of folks. I'm telling you. But I have discovered that they all need the same thing. They all need Jesus. And a lot of these folks, I tell you, a lot of these folks are just hurting people and they mask it with all these things. But here's my point. That was the deepest storm I've ever been through in my life. But God brought me out on the other side and renewed my ministry and gave me a lovely wife. Ooh. Amen? God is good. And I can tell you from experience, God is good. And He cares about you. Now, I've got a little street cred, don't I? Because I've been through the storm. And I've come out on the other side, and I've learned that God is faithful and that God is trustworthy and God has a plan. And it doesn't matter how bad it gets, doesn't matter what you've been through, God has a plan. And He wants to help you through that storm if you'll trust Him by faith. In the midst of that storm, I wrote this song.
I've known some times of pain and sorrow, hoping somehow that there'd be no tomorrow at all. You know that someone I love walked away. I've seen some good times, I've seen some bad, but I know, Lord, that the troubles that I've had, they have come to turn me back to you. There have been times when I've wondered where my next meal was coming from. The children needed clothes and my money was all gone and low. Know that sometimes I feel so alone. But through it all, I felt your mercy and your grace, your gentle hand guiding me back to the place where I could see the purpose in my pain. And now I know I had to go through these things that hurt me so I could find that peace of mind and the strength to carry on. Yes, through it all, I felt your mercy and your grace, your gentle hand guiding me back to the place where I could see the purpose in my pain.
Bow our heads and close our eyes, and Brother John's going to come down front. All of that to say that there are some of you here tonight that are struggling with some painful, painful situations. And I don't know what they are, but God does. And God wants to help you. And He doesn't want to break you. He wants to work with you, and He wants to build your faith. And He wants you to grow as a result of this. Now, some of you have been fighting these struggles, and you don't see any good in it at all. It's time to quit fighting, and it's time to come to Jesus tonight. On this first night of revival, this is your opportunity. All right, you're struggling. You got to get this right before you can move forward. Before you can get any peace in your life, you've got to do it tonight. Now's the time. With heads bowed, with eyes closed. If Jesus is speaking to you, you come tonight and let Him do a work in your life. He has so much for you. Oh, He has so much for you. If you could just see down the road, if you will trust Him by faith through this difficult storm, down the road, there is something amazing for you. I promise you, if you'll trust Him tonight, He is faithful and He will help you.
Thank you. It's who I am. It's who I am.